I'm Will Howell.
I'm Anthony Fowler.
I'm Viola Giuda, and this is Not Another Politics Podcast. So, in the US, many election officials are elected in partisan elections. They run as Democrats or Republicans, not as independent officials who are trying to preserve the integrity of elections. I find it really, really strange. What do you think, Anthony?
Yes, I find it strange as well. I mean, as you know, the system is extremely decentralized. Maybe there are some virtues, you know, associated with that. Maybe there's some good reasons why we want it to be really decentralized and we don't want there to be like one czar of elections in the United States who runs everything. But it is very strange with all, we've got all these town and county clerks and secretaries of state who are essentially separately administering our elections. And many of these people, as you said, Viola, are partisan officials. They actually, you know, they actually run on the ballot as Democrats and Republicans. Lots of subjective decisions are going to be made by someone who is a partisan official, who presumably has a horse in the race, who in some cases oversees their own re-election, but also oversees the presidential elections and so on. So that seems very troubling. And I think it'd be pretty reasonable to look at that and say, is the system rigged? And should we be really worried that these partisans are skewing the will of the public? So Will, you talked to a political scientist who had something to say about that. How did that go?
It went really well. I got to speak to Daniel Thompson, who has been on our show before. He, along with two of his students at UCLA, wrote a paper called How Partisan is Local Election Administration, in which they take a really exhaustive and careful look at whether or not these partisan elections produce partisans, that is, produce people who are behaving in ways that are in the expressed interest of their parties and not trying to, in a kind of neutral or principled way, administer elections. And they have a whole bunch of data over multiple decades looking at a whole bunch of outcomes, which speaks poignantly to the kinds of fears that I think a lot of people have about what the efforts to politicize the elections at the state level, what they look like now and what they portend for 2022 and 2024. Look, this paper is terrifically timely and speaks to all kinds of concerns that people have about the politicization of election administration, trying to evaluate the effects of partisanship, the partisan identity of election administrators on election outcomes and the rules that govern how elections occur. And a place maybe to start is to try to be clear about who these election administrators are, how they're elected, and what powers they have.
The folks that we're studying are local election administrators, people who are elected at the county and city level, not those who are elected at the state level. What we've done is built out a list of kind of who is both elected in a partisan election at the county level, and then we've just focused on those folks. So our study is directed toward understanding what the effect of electing a partisan election administrator is when they have quite a lot of authority. So we're also focusing on the cases where it's one individual who's responsible for most of election administration at the local level. By and large, they do things like decide on the location and number of polling places. They decide on timing of early voting. They decide on things like who to hire as poll workers, how to train those poll workers. You're trying to figure out when and where to vote. You go look at a government website. That website is often run by this official. So I think it's the concern that many people have. It sure seems like a weird system to have one person who is elected as a member of the Republican or Democratic Party to decide how elections are run. And that's just because we would expect that maybe on the margins, whenever they're given the choice to make a decision that would make it easier for Republicans to vote, a Republican would do that. And when it make it easier for Democrats to vote, the Democrat would do that. And over time, as you accumulate those decisions over many different small decisions, in the aggregate, each of these individual decisions would add up to some advantage for their party.
Okay, so you've got your sample of these partisan races. What are you going to be looking for in the empirical exercise?
So we're going to do a few different things. I think most important thing is to look directly at election outcomes. And so what we do is we gather county level election results for statewide offices, for presidential, Senate, and gubernatorial elections. And then we pair that with additional data how provisional ballots are handled, where polling places are located, and so forth. The main thing we're concerned about is that places that elect Democrats or the local election offices also are more likely to elect or vote a higher rate for Democrats at statewide office, governor and Senate and president. And so we need to come up with some way to account for that fact. Of course, it's going to be the case that places that elect a Democratic clerk also often vote for the Democrat for president. But we want to know not what is that simple comparison, but rather what is the effect of electing a Democratic clerk on future presidential election outcomes.
So how do you do it? How do you parse that particular difference?
Sure. What we do is look at very close elections between Democratic and Republican clerks. You know, in the ideal case, in a coin flip election, one where literally the election is a tie and we determine it by a coin flip, the ones that at random had a Democrat as clerk, we would look at the Democratic presidential election results there, look at the Democratic vote share for president in places that the Republican was elected by this coin flip. We'd be confident that the places that have a Democratic clerk and the places that have a Republican clerk are identical in terms of their, you know, expected normal vote for the Democrat or Republican presidential level. Then what we're doing now is isolating the effect that the individual election administrator has from the typical voting pattern of citizens. That allows us to say something like the places that elected Democratic clerks are going to look a lot like the places that elected Republican clerks in terms of their partisan preferences, their preferences of election administration, and so forth. Now, one thing to note here that's kind of interesting, you know, when we're trying to reason about who these marginal people are, is that it turns out that the correlation between Democratic two-party clerk vote share and Democratic presidential vote share is not quite as high as you would think. So there are actually quite a lot of places that that are overwhelmingly vote for Democrats for president or overwhelmingly vote for Republicans for president, but that have close elections between a Democrat and Republican for clerk. The marginal cases aren't exactly just the close places with close races in presidential elections, but that's certainly a good place to start when you're thinking about where they're coming from.
What do you find?
So we find that despite this concern that Democrats and Republican local clerks would offer their party a big advantage, we find very little evidence for that. We see that Democratic clerks produce about the same Democratic presidential vote share as Republican clerks. So we do a few things to try to understand this result. The first thing we do is just ask, like, is this something that's particular, for example, to our period? The period we're studying is from 2000 to today. You know, one simple question is, like, is this an average effect that we saw, you know, from the previous years and that this doesn't hold today? Well, we see that, in fact, over time, the effect we estimate is pretty stable. We ask, you know, whether we see a similar effect in places that are not covered under the VRA, because one concern might be there are legal, the Voting Rights Act. We might be concerned that there are, you know, legal constraints, especially on places that are subject to preclearance provision of the Voting Rights Act. We don't see that this is a null effect limited to those places. The next thing, which is more, I think, substantively important to try to tease out, is whether we see that Democrats and Republicans are choosing similar policies, and these policies because they, you know, have similar preferences or something along those lines, or alternatively, that they are choosing very different policies, or even having effects on the proportion of Democrats and Republicans turning out and so forth, but that that they aren't able to affect the outcome of elections substantially. And so that's where we kind of go to try to figure out what it is that's going on.
And what do you find there?
This was really interesting to me. What we found is that Democrats and Republicans seem to oversee elections with very similar levels of turnout, which was kind of a first hint that, again, this kind of simple logic that, well, maybe the marginal voter in most places is a Democrat, and so if you increase turnout, you would be improving the standing of Democrats. I think that's a conventional wisdom. So what we would expect is that, you know, maybe on average, Democratic clerks are increasing turnout, but that they aren't having the effect, it isn't having the result of advantaging their party because it's actually harder to do than they would expect or something. No, in fact, what we see is that Democrats and Republicans oversee, on average, very similar levels of turnout. And then we turn also to particular policies. Now, this is necessarily noisier for exactly the reasons I was describing earlier, that any individual policy, you could imagine seeing small effects on any individual policy and it not translating into election results. What we see is, though our estimates are noisier here, we don't see a lot of evidence that Democrats and Republicans are choosing dramatically different policies on average.
You're not looking at any one electoral cycle. I mean, you're looking over the better part of a quarter century. And as you pointed out earlier, it doesn't look like these effects are confined to one period or another. We have a broad sense that things are getting worse in our politics. People, you know, the parties are becoming more polarized, and are the willingness of partisan hacks to step out and do the bidding of their parties to the detriment of the, you know, median voter is only gone up. But you just don't find any evidence in support of such claims.
Yes, that's right. Our study on average is studying on average, you know, an average over, you know, all elections from 2000 to 2020. Of course, you know, people might be worried that this is a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, I would note that, you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't crazy to imagine that clerks would advantage their party then either. And people have been writing papers on this exact subject for going back for 20 years at least. We might be worried that this is something that all of a sudden in 2020, local clerks were more likely to advantage their party. While, of course, when you subset to a single year, you're going to have less data to estimate the effect. Insofar as we can tell, there isn't much of a difference between partisan advantage that a clerk gives from one year to the next, that it looks pretty similar from, you know, across all of our data.
Is the thing to take away from this that these election administrators really are kind of faithful stewards of the public interest? I mean, they might be doing an equally bad job, right? We don't know if their performance is in some sense good or bad, but there aren't obvious partisan differences between them. And that while then the elections may have a D or an R attached to their names, they're behaving in similar ways and generating similar outcomes, isn't that a vote of confidence in an electoral system that nonetheless is highly decentralized and has these partisan dimensions?
You know, one big concern about partisan election administration is that whoever controls the levers of how we administer elections would use it to advantage their party. That's one potential concern. For the period that we've studied, we can say that on average, that is not the, you know, kind of, there's not this systematic average effect of who controls the clerk's office on how the national parties perform. What I would say is that doesn't really tell us quite yet about how well these officials are performing. Exactly as you said, it could be that they're performing equally poorly. It could be that for example, the costs of changing these policies, it requires an amount of expertise and skill that it's not worth investing in. But it's certainly for a lot of clerks, one of the advantages of having so many local election officials, such a highly disaggregated federalized system, is that it's very difficult for any individual clerk to actually swing an election at a statewide and especially at the presidential level, because there are just so many of these, so many counties, so many officials. But it could also be that, you know, these folks have a partisan label. But really, they wanted to work in this office. It's an interesting, you know, challenge, and it's a good way to be a public servant. I don't know which of those is correct. It's something that we would be very interested to study further.
Well, and it bears a lot on both our understanding of what happened in 2020 and the conversations about it, and our concerns about 2024. And so at 2020, there's a narrative that you have Trump, who loses the election and then goes on a rampage trying to put all kinds of pressure on local and state election officials who refuse to bend and behave in ways that are kind of principled and true, right? And they don't give up the ghost. They don't deliver, suddenly find new votes. In a number of the states, in Arizona, in Georgia, they wouldn't need to have found very many to have flipped the election. So it's not like we have a big coordination problem. I mean, a couple of counties might have been able to do it. Your findings are certainly consistent with that kind of story, no?
Yes, I would say that they are consistent with that story. My big concern is that why Democrats and Republicans produce similar election outcomes is really important here for understanding what we expect to happen in the future. You know, when we see a report that there are a bunch of people retiring and this office being handed over to a different class of folks, a group of folks that have more partisan motivations, then that suggests that we need to be worried about that. If instead there are some external constraints or it's quite difficult to advantage your party, then that suggests that, like, even when we replace these folks with folks who are more motivated to advantage their party, they might still not be able to.
First, I want to say, I think it was a really interesting interview, Will, and I think the paper is really interesting, and I actually have a little bit of envy in that I myself, more than 10 years ago, wanted to write this paper. And the reason I had this idea is that there was a tied election in New England. Because, you know, and I was talking to the town clerks who administered that election. They oversaw it. And a bunch of times in my personal interviews with these town clerks, they would essentially reveal things without even knowing it. They revealed that they had done something that was illegal. I think they didn't realize it was illegal, or maybe they didn't realize it was bad. One of the things somebody said to me, just one of the examples I remember was, you know, there's the senior citizens home up on the hill over there, and they have a hard time making it to the polling place. And so I always drive a bunch of ballots up there on election day, and I essentially let them vote, you know, in their homes or in their, you know, at the senior home instead of them having to come to the polling place. And that is illegal, right? That is, you know, of course, there are ways you can apply for a remote ballot and so forth. But that is a strange thing for the person running the election to basically say that they voted at the polling place when they didn't, right? And so then I asked, like, well, that's kind of a funny thing that you do. Like, if you had to guess, would you guess that, like, the people who live in that place, do they lean toward one party or the other? And they said, oh, probably they're mostly Republicans. And then I would say, well, don't you think, like, are you ever worried that, like, you doing things like that could potentially change the outcome of the election? And they just said, no, probably not, you know. It probably doesn't make that much of a difference. And I said, you know, I'm talking to you because there was an exact tie in this major election. And they're like, I guess so. I mean, it probably makes a difference. And so these things kept happening over and over again. Little things like that. And they're probably not big effects, but I just kept thinking, like, these town clerks do lots of little things that on the margin could affect election results. And I was studying a case where these were not partisan elected officials. They were appointed. They didn't have an explicit party. But I still thought it'd be really interesting if I could actually find out, like, the personal partisanship of all of these people and figure out if it actually was having an effect. And so I never really went down the road and wrote a great paper like Dan and his co-authors did. But I'm glad to see that they did it. And I'm genuinely surprised to find they didn't find anything, because so many of the anecdotes suggested that these town clerks, at least in the election I was studying, were doing lots of little things that on the margin could make a difference. And they even had a sense that they would likely have these partisan effects.
And we don't see them in an environment in which these people have a lot of power. So he's looking at a subset of cases wherein there are partisan elections and the election administrator exerts a tremendous amount of authority over how these actual elections are held.
I'm just left a little bit puzzled why they didn't. Why is there no effect? Why are those people not really successfully affecting the results of the elections?
So the one thing that which the authors rule out, is that the administrators are adopting systematically different policies as a function of whether or not they're a Democrat or Republican, right? Where they hold, how many polling places that they have, who they target for review, how much time is allotted for people to vote in the lead up to an election, these kinds of things. They just don't see any systematic differences in the practices adopted by the administrators, which in turn may have an effect on the particular outcome. So it can't be that. Now, it may be that they're trying to affect the election in other kinds of ways that they don't observe, right? Or that they don't have data on, but that they don't bear fruit. Or it also is possible these people are just, at least the people that they're looking at over the 20-year period, right? And they're looking, I mean, it's worth here noting, they're looking over multiple decades in many, many different states, many different kinds of elections. They just don't find any evidence of there being any systematic effect. And so it might be, too, that they just are well-meaning folk who, when they run for office, they have to divulge whether or not they're a Democrat or a Republican. But that does not meaningfully inform why they run for office or their behavior once in office. And that these people really are sort of pro-small d democratic stewards, and we ought to think of them as such.
Can I throw out some possibilities, and you can tell me what you think of these potential explanations for this null result? So, yeah, the first one is, like, the kind of person who wants to be a county clerk is somebody who's really committed to the enterprise of democracy, and they, despite whatever partisan preferences they have, those are outweighed by their commitment to running a fair election. Maybe they are actually not very noble, but they're just not very good at, you know, skewing the results of elections for whatever reason. It's hard, whatever the calculations are that you would have to do to figure out, like, how many polling places and what days, and maybe those things just turn out to not matter, and even though they are trying to be partisan the way they do that, it just turns out to not have a very big effect. One possibility is that they're really constrained, either constrained by sort of good institutions, like we have enough legal resource and enough good institutions in place, or we have enough kind of like maybe media accountability or something. Like if you did something really egregious, like you get shamed by all the newspapers, and that's enough to constrain these people and get them to behave reasonably well. Another possibility, I guess I'll throw out a final one, which is maybe, you know, these are elected officials. First and foremost, they care about their jobs. They care about getting reelected. One of the worst things that could happen for them is if it looked like they were really partisan. Maybe there's some mix of, like, you do some things that are good for your party, but you also do some things that are good for the other party to kind of counteract that. Or so maybe on average, those things are kind of like washing out in the aggregate.
Well, you threw a lot at us. I was trying to take notes. The last suggestion that you made is that they care about their jobs. They want to be reelected, and hence they are going to be, you know, nonpartisan or partisan in both ways. It's not obvious to me that being nonpartisan is the best strategy to be reelected. If you are in a district that's leaning Republican, you know, your chances at reelection would be higher if you leaned Republican and if you cater to Trump's demands and so on.
Well, that thing is not in these estimates, right? So that's an interesting possibility that they don't test for, right? Because we're looking at these 50-50 races where, I mean, a lot of these are purple jurisdictions. And we don't have any clean identification strategy to estimate the effect of the partisan leanings of the jurisdiction. But maybe that does have an effect on your behavior. I don't know.
Yeah. So exactly. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. So yes, they are looking at jurisdictions where in the elections for the election officials, the votes were split more or less 50-50. They are careful to say that that does not necessarily correlate with how split the state or the county is during the presidential elections. But at least for the county clerks, it seems like the voters are split 50-50. So presumably they are looking at counties in which, yeah, being nonpartisan in their behavior is the winning strategy. But then that sort of raises a question of how robust those results are, how much we can extrapolate from them to the overall behavior of election officials. It might be that if you are, if you really have to be nonpartisan to win re-election, you are going to be nonpartisan. But if you're elected in a landslide or you know, in like 55 or 60% of the votes, then perhaps you are more likely to try all those different discretionary tools that you have at your disposal to affect the elections.
But you'll be trying them in an environment that already presumably advantages your own party. And so therefore, right, behaving in ways that advantage Republicans in a place that Republicans are already winning by huge margins we'd worry less about than the case where a little bit of nudge one way or the other is going to affect the actual outcome.
We still worry. I think it still sounds like a bad thing if some places 75% Republican and they make it really easy for the Republicans to vote and hard for the Democrats to vote, or vice versa. I mean, and of course, we're not talking about just county level elections. Like, this is one, we're talking about a single county. Those votes are then going to be aggregated into a statewide total, and that's going to determine who your governor or your senator or the president is and so on. And so this stuff still matters a lot.
Yeah, and what they, again, I want to reemphasize that when they look at the correlation, and this is also a finding that's interesting in its own right, when they look at the correlation between the Democratic fraction of votes for the election officials, and they correlate that with the Democratic fraction of votes for the president, the correlation is pretty weak. So there are presumably a lot of places where a Democrat wins with a high percentage of votes, while it is actually very hard for Democratic election officials to be elected. So that's puzzling to me. But if that's the case, then he's looking at a very selected sample of counties. But there might be counties where actually the election for the clerks are more lopsided. So they don't have those career concerns where they have to be really nonpartisan to be reelected. But still, they affect the outcome of the election in a state in which the presidential election is really close.
So I don't know what like the career trajectories of these individuals look like, but I'm guessing that most people who run for these offices do so out of a sense of service, that we don't see any effects on all kinds of observed behavior that these administrators undertake and that they have the power to undertake, involving the number of polling places, the share of votes cast provisionally, the share of registrants removed from a list, the share of registrants registered with the Democratic Party, the waiting times. I mean, they look at all kinds of stuff. And again and again and again, you see null effects in terms of whether or not it's a D or an R who occupies the office. If there is some other avenue through which they're trying, you would think if they're trying those others, they would try at least one of these in order to advantage their party. So isn't the simplest explanation one that, at least in this space in our politics, over the period that they're investigating, best chances are these are people who are looking to give back and looking to serve. Like, look, we're so jaded in our politics. Why can't this simply be a case of people who, you know, want to help out as serving as administrators, and that the D and the R is actually not especially meaningful as a predictor of their behavior, and certainly, as they show, a predictor of the actual outcomes?
Sure, but there are so many people who are extremely partisan. Why aren't they running and winning those elections? That's the puzzling thing. Like, I think I would agree with what you just said. Like, it seems right to me, especially when I think about the people who indeed stood up to Trump. But why don't we have those extremists who are just taking over?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't get on board with Will's really optimistic interpretation.
Yeah, it's too naive, huh?
I mean, I'm sure that applies to some of them, and I'm sure everybody has their limit, you know. But I suspect, and you know, a lot of the town clerks that I talked to in New England who were officially nonpartisan, running elections was actually a small part of their job. They were, you know, they were public servants. They were people in the town that everybody liked, and they got this job. And most of what they did was give people marriage licenses and dog licenses and things like that. And then every once in a while, oh, right, it's election time. I have to run the election. And I have to do a good job. And I suspect for the most part, they were motivated by doing a good job. But still, you would worry that their personal preferences might still affect the way they do their jobs. But when it comes to somebody like, think of, you know, we're here in Cook County. Like, how do you become the Cook County clerk? The way you would curry favor is not by being a really good nonpartisan person who's just dedicated to democracy. It's by being a good foot soldier very often for the dominant party in that place. So I don't know.
But those are observations that are outside of this sample, right? And so it may be that outside of this sample, there are partisans acting in ways that are decidedly in the interest of party. But as an explanation for the findings that we have before us, which are a set of null findings in these very close races, when you don't see any effects on observed behavior, and you don't see not just any effects on average across the elections, but at all kinds of different subsets of elections and cases where the stakes are really high and where their behavior might really make a difference, we continue to see null effects. Why isn't then the most natural, for explanation for the findings on offer here, that these people are public stewards?
I guess I'm not willing to jump on completely with this idea that like it must be the case that these are just noble people committed to democracy above all else. Like they are partisan people, they have their partisan preferences. I'm sure on the margin they would be willing to do things that would benefit their party. And maybe it just turns out that those little things don't have very big effects on net because of other factors. Like people are still willing to wait in line to vote, right? And maybe it might just be, I mean, so that's the other possibility that, you know, this has come up on the podcast before, which is that in general, lots of electoral reforms and little tweaks to election administration seem to not have very big effects. We've read papers about how vote by mail, for example, has almost no effect on who turns out and what the partisan election results are. In some ways, Will, you're presenting your view as this optimistic one. I think we could say your view is actually a really pessimistic one, in that in the world in which we got more partisan people in these offices, then democracy would be ruined. And I'd like to think that the health of democracy doesn't depend entirely on the good faith of these, you know, these officials. Like, we have institutions, we have some kind of accountability, we have courts, we have all those things because we know that these individuals aren't perfect. And nevertheless, we'd like to still have, you know, reliable outcomes despite fallible individuals running the show.
And I think on top of that, and I think this is the important thing, is that those are county clerks. Those are really, really local election officials. You know, there's a cost to doing something that's a little bit outside of the norm and maybe a little bit illegal. And the benefit is actually extremely tiny because the probability that your county is going to affect the election is very small. But that, to me, actually is also a scary part of this entire story. If that explanation is correct, then I would worry that, yes, on average, we don't see any effect. But if there's suddenly some coordinating force, like, for example, the President Trump was trying to be, where all those clerks suddenly realized that they would be protected from media or legal proceedings, and if they all coordinate, actually, they are going to affect the elections, then who knows? Perhaps we are going to see large effects.
I guess some of what you both are saying, but you in particular, Anthony, that you're saying about how they may be trying things, but that those things simply don't have an effect on the outcome would be a way to rationalize a set of big effects on actions, but null effects on electoral outcomes. But we see null effects on both. So we don't see them actually altering wait times or altering polling places or the rates at which provisional ballots are rejected. We just don't see anything there.
Although, to be fair, I think you could argue that for a lot of these other tests, it's not obvious which way they should go, right? Should Democrats want more polling places or less polling places? They might want more polling places than the dense Democratic places and less polling places than the Republican places. And so maybe they're trying that, but on average, these things are washing out.
No, that would be better. Like if they had the, a way to link the location of polling places to the partisanship of the different communities, that would be, and whether or not theirs are being rejiggered, we'd like to see that. We don't have that before us. Yeah, I guess I would say, we led at the top with this observation that they tend to be lower salience elections that aren't subject to a whole lot of scrutiny, public scrutiny, which suggests that they could get away with a whole lot if they wanted to. I continue to be worried going forward because I think if the explanation, and I'm suggesting that it is, it's a supply side explanation. That is, the people who are running for these offices tend to have the best interests of democracy in mind. That if that changes, and it may well be changing, that could be real trouble. And that therefore, the findings that characterize, the last 20 years needn't characterize the coming four. Hey, if you're getting a lot out of the research that we discuss on this show, there's another University of Chicago Podcast Network show that you should check out. It's called Big Brains. Big Brains brings you the engaging stories behind the pioneering research and pivotal breakthroughs reshaping our world. Change how you see the world through research and keep up with the latest academic thinking with Big Brains, part of the University of Chicago Podcast Network.
In the background, there's this big question, is there a better system? And from what I hear, the results are reassuring that right now nothing wrong is happening, but the system is still not a good one because A, perhaps we are going to have those more extreme candidates coming in the future, or for some reason, those that we have right now will become more partisan, or B, there might be a situation in which actually there will be some coordination and all of them are suddenly going to misbehave because it's going to be more beneficial to misbehave at the same time.
Yeah, it seems kind of crazy that we have these partisan elections at all, right? That there is a DNR attached to people whose job is expressly intended to be the neutral administration of elections, not the advancement of partisan goals.
But it is hard to imagine selecting such a person without, in a completely apolitical way, right? I mean, they were appointed by the governor. The governor is a partisan official, right? All of the options are political in some way. It's not obvious that directly electing these people is worse than the alternatives.
It seems to me that there are solutions or reforms, institutions that we have data that they are actually neutral when it comes to, the effect on elections and outcomes, but they are very easy to hijack for political partisan discussion. We've seen that with mail-in voting. We've seen this with ID votes. And we've seen this actually with elected officials. Like we have those examples of Stacey Abrams or Rick Scott where, when they were either losing or thinking that they might lose the election, they actually turned against the election officials and they used the fact that they were from different partisan affiliation than they are. And that's not good for democracy in its own right, I think.
It's not talked about in the paper, but one can imagine strengthening the forms of oversight and accountability to which these election administrators are subject Would you two be on board some kind of audit that they're subject to, that is made public?
I mean, one version of that was in the old version of the Voting Rights Act, where certain, you know, there was Department of Justice that had oversight over the way elections were run in certain places. One version of that is at the state level, where, you know, the Secretary of State's office will do random audits of election counts and make sure there was nothing funny that happened and so forth. So those kinds of things do exist, and maybe that would be a good idea to formalize that process and try to make it as nonpartisan as possible and try to make sure, have certain things you check for to make sure these county clerks didn't do anything in a partisan way. The Department of Justice is not completely apolitical either, right? So it's very tricky. So there's no easy answer, but I think that in general is a good idea.
I mean, you could have data that is shared generally about the location of polling places, the wait times at those polling places, turnout rates among different people. Now, all of that is sort of weakly linked to the actual decisions that administrators make, but those data could be made available as a kind of post-mortem on the elections that they were charged with administering that then can inform voters next go-around whether or not they want to get behind an election administrator.
Like most of the Western democracies have nonpartisan systems, and I'm sure many of them have a lot of flaws, but I'm sure some of them have good solutions. And to be honest, like, we don't need so much discretion when we're running election. I would think that you can have some rules that are perhaps they're not perfect in every case, but at least they are rules, and we know that they are sometimes favoring one party, sometimes another one. So, for example, you can have polling stations in schools. Schools are distributed not randomly, but independently of the political process. So why not have that? Or you could have a rule, you could have a law that says, you know, the absentee ballots are being distributed 2 weeks before, or there's only 2 weeks of voting. And I know the US the elections in the US are decentralized and so on, but at least within a state, we could have very sharp rules. And then the impact that those election officials would have would be muted, although we have to repeat, the paper didn't find much of the impact, but at least what would be muted would be all these political discussions about, like, you know, oh, I'm losing because this election official put a polling place here and not there. And this is completely unnecessary, I think, especially right now for this country.
And I think you're right. I mean, I think if voting was mandatory, and if it was expected that everybody vote, and part of the job description of these county clerks is you have to make it as, you know, within reason, as easy as possible for everybody to vote because they have a legal obligation to do it. I think a lot of these problems do go away. There isn't a huge conundrum about, you know, inequality and who does and doesn't pay their taxes. Of course, I mean, see, people do debate this, but like paying your taxes is obligatory, and you get fined if you don't do it. And within reason, you know, the IRS has to make it reasonably easy for you to file your taxes. They can't make it too ridiculously onerous on you. Otherwise, that would be a scandal. And the IRS is not super politicized. You could imagine a similar kind of world in which elections are run in that way. I think one of the alternatives we should consider is what they do in lots of other countries, which is that elections are really nationalized, right? You can have election administration be completely nationalized. And there, I think, I understand why people think that's a good idea, but I also understand fears that, you know, if there's one office that runs everything, like, you really worry that if that office gets corrupted or politicized, then you're really in trouble. Whereas if it happens in just one county in America, it's not the end of the world. It's not great, but it's not a disaster. Or if, you know, if the official federal voting list of registered voters gets somehow hacked into, that's much worse than if it just happens in one county or something. So I understand the pros and cons there. It's not obvious, but yes, I like the idea of less discretion, and I like the idea of compulsory voting insofar as it makes these things more equal.
If I can throw in my bottom line, I love the paper. I think this is political science as at its best. It's a very timely question. It's a very clean execution, and it's an optimistic message. But I still want to emphasize that there are reasons to be worried that the system is not the best one moving forward. And one is this idea of coordination, that if another Trump comes along and beliefs of those clerks change, that they actually can affect the election, then they might try to. And the other thing that maybe is more reasonable to worry about is the politicization of the process, and the fact that people will just always blame the other party if they can, and making the election oversight independent of the political process would help with this problem.
What do you think, Anthony?
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. I find this paper really reassuring. Like I said earlier, I was really worried. One of the reasons I wanted to write a paper similar to this myself is because I suspected there were these big effects. I suspected that these local election officials had very large effects on election outcomes in ways that were hard to measure. And I think I think those fears have been proven to be wrong by this paper. It turns out, on average, these effects are not very big. And it's even in the case where the officials are actually explicitly partisan, even in the case where they have a lot of authority, you still don't find anything. That makes me quite reassured. Not to say that we should be completely complacent and not worry at all about our system or not try to improve it, but it makes me less worried than I was before that a small number of partisan officials could, you know, undermine democracy. So I feel good having read this paper. I don't know what the alternatives are, but I agree that if we could pass even better laws and have less discretion for local officials, I think that would be a good thing. More nonpartisan oversight would be a good thing. But on the whole, I'm pleased to see that our democracy has not been corrupted by these partisan officials, and it's more or less working as it should, despite the fact that there's lots of selfish partisans who are running the show.
I'm a little worried that Dan Thompson may have stolen your idea, and that needs to be investigated thoroughly. We need to find out the origins of this paper. Putting that aside,
I am delighted to see that they read this paper, and I don't think anything nefarious occurred.
It's a terrific paper, and I agree with both of you. And I, in addition to being timely and kind of rigorous and thoughtful, it's also beautifully written and transparent. It's clear. I'll say, thinking about what's happening at the state level right now, I went into reading this paper with, you know, probably 20 reasons to worry. But having read it, I update positively, and now I'm carrying around, I'd say, 12 or 13. What it doesn't appear to be like a systemic kind of baked into our politics. Kind of a partisan tilt at the local electoral level, at least not over the last 20, 25 years. And there are lots of reasons to believe it might have been. This is a period of heightened polarization. It's in the aftermath of Bush v. Gore and in rising levels of distrust between the parties. We might expect there to have, for all kinds of reasons, we would have expected to have found big differences. We don't see them. There still are reasons to worry, some which are consistent with the findings on offer and some which may be because the sample of people running for office or the kinds of accountability that election administrators are going to be subject to is changing, or the availability of a coordinating mechanism, Viola, you're putting this forward, somebody like Trump may be systematically affecting what's going on at this local level. So yes, we should really be worried going forward, but less worried, I guess less worried than I was before reading the paper.
Thanks for listening to Not Another Politics Podcast.
Our show is a podcast from the Harris School of Public Policy and is produced by Matt Hodapp. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.